Aloha and welcome to the Superfly Oz podcast, podcast number 75 for December 9th, 2018. I am he, Superfly Oz himself, Stan Fitchman, here giving you insight and perspective. Hold on a second. Trustworthy insight and perspective of things that are going on around the world, across the United States, and here in my little corner of the world, the state of Hawaii, United States of America. Once again, welcome to the podcast. I'm so glad that you're here. Let me give you a little bit of housekeeping items just to make sure that you stay in tune with the podcast as well as being able to reach out to me, Stan Fitchman, Superfly Oz himself. If you are interested in listening to this and other episodes of the podcast, go to www.politicshawaii.com. Politicshawaii.com is the website where you can go to the Podomatic site where all the podcasts for the Superfly Oz podcast are currently housed. If you're looking to reach out to me, Superfly Oz himself, give me some insight. Tell me I'm full of it. Tell me you'd like to show. Tell me some insights as to what you would like to hear. Tell me some suggestions as to what you would like to hear or not want to hear, or anything that's on your mind. Go ahead, go to your email browser, go to sjfhawaii@gmail.com, type that into the to line, type in a subject into the subject line, and then tell me what you're really thinking about in the podcast, in the body of the email. Go ahead and press send, and if your email is good enough, I'm going to go ahead and read it off on one of the future episodes of the podcast. So once again, welcome to the 75th episode of the Superfly Oz podcast. So I really want to go ahead and dive right into my subject today, but I want to give you a little bit of background as to how this subject came about. And the subject today is Superfly Oz calling out the SJW, or the Social Justice Warrior, as is called on the internet and on Twitter, or the Social Justice Advocate, or the Social Justice Activist, as I would also have heard in other corners of the internet. Those people who get on the internet and start screaming and yelling about some sort of subject or whatever, and trying to change the behavior, trying to change the perspective of people across the United States and around the world in regard to a subject matter that seems to be that the SJW these days seems to be offended by. So let me give you a little bit of background as to what's going on. First of all, I want to let you know that the intro music is different than the music. And the reason why is because today we're going to be featuring the theme of South Africa. And this is part of the reason why we're having the subject today. The intro music that you had heard was the former national anthem of South Africa up until 1994. We're going to get back into that in a moment as to the reason why we are featuring this music, as well as in the outro music too, of another theme of South Africa that you will hear in the end of the show. But again, what I wanted to do today is I wanted to talk to you a little bit about, from a Superfly Oz perspective, about the Social Justice Warrior or Social Justice Advocate, and they're kind of nitpicking at a lot of things in regard to the culture of things across the United States and around the world, and just some things that are of a perspective from the Superfly Oz perspective that really these guys just need to understand. So let's get right into it. I wasn't really sure actually what was going to happen on this show for this week. I was thinking that I was going to make some commentary about some commentary that I made on a number of different issues across the media over this last week. But then I was sitting with a couple of friends of mine yesterday at a restaurant, and my friends started showing me some of these news reports about how social justice warriors or SJWs are outraged by certain things. For instance, he started to show me a news report about how Dove Soap, who did a commercial in which a woman who was African-American was pulling off her skin like it was a shirt and a white woman was underneath. SJWs got all over the place. The internet blew up. I don't know if it crashed or anything, but that led Dove to make some heavy apologies, yank the commercial, etc., etc. Another one had to do with Kellogg's having to replace a quote-unquote racist Corn Pops cereal boxes after tweets in which Kellogg's was forced to buy SJWs and stuff like that to redesign the Corn Pops cereal boxes after a complaint about racially insensitive art on the packaging. The Battle Creek, Michigan-based cereal and snack maker said on Twitter Wednesday it would replace the cover drawing of a cartoon character shaped like a corn kernels populating a shopping mall. The Corn Pop characters are shown shopping, playing an arcade, and frolicked in a fountain. One skateboards down an escalator. The one that was a little more darker skinned was actually seen pushing a broom or a cart or a vacuum or something of that sort, of which everybody said, well, the only dark one is doing janitor work, of which that's a racial stereotype. Now, for these last two items, I kind of looked at them and I said, all right, you know, it's subjective interpretation. And really, you know, if the company is going to go ahead and change their advertising or change their message or yank some messaging or something like that, all right, you know, somebody in the PR department is doing one thing and it just got interpreted badly by others. However, over the last week or so, the social justice warriors have been at it again, and this time around they are going after culture. So as many have probably heard, the SJWs have now decided to take on a song, a Christmas song, or a traditionally Christmas song called It's Baby It's Cold Outside. And the controversy, of course, is the fact that the song's lyrics, or its suggestive lyrics, are suggestive of items like unwanted sex, basically. That's what it kind of comes down to. As you know, the song Baby It's Cold Outside has to do with a man kind of suggesting to a woman to stay inside his house because it's snowing outside and it's very cold outside and it's not very good. And the woman is kind of saying, well, you know, my mother might get weed and this might not be a right thing to do and stuff like that. But it's really kind of a tongue-in-cheek type of thing. And it was something until this year, nobody really ever came about and ever said, well, this is a bad message song, and so we have to stop singing it or we have to stop playing it. In fact, a radio station over in the mainland of Hawaii said that they would no longer play the song because of this feeling that it had sexual overtones that were not proper and not right. And it kind of blended into what was called the Me Too movement, which is still going on here in the United States right now, in which people who have done bad deeds against women, men who have done bad deeds against women, are being called out and actually, in a lot of ways, their lives are being destroyed or their careers are being ended or their reputations are being thrown to the dirt because of past infractions, or at least that's what the Me Too movement has to say. Now, in everything that has been said so far, it seems to be pretty innocent. And of course, it is all about the interpretation of what these items are. The cereal box, the commercial, the song, whatever. And in fact, in two of the cases, it didn't really seem to be that it was going to affect really anybody, you know. So a PR department has to yank a commercial that they paid $100,000 in order to make. All right, well, you know, they'll just take that as a write-off. Kellogg's got to redesign their packaging so that it's less racially insensitive. All right, so you got to get the artist out there again and change the way that the character is portrayed. Nothing really bad. But when it comes down to artistic developments like songs and stuff like that, as well as calling out individuals who are, you know, not doing very well in regard to their behavior to women and stuff like that, it starts to edge closer toward a destructive type of suggestion to destroy a reputation, to obliterate somebody's livelihood, to obliterate somebody's knowledge as to what the world is all about. And I'm not quite sure if that's what the SJWs are doing, but that is the effect of what is happening. In fact, one of the relatives, I believe it's a daughter actually, of the person who wrote the song Baby It's Cold Outside, actually came out with a statement defending the fact that her father, I believe, you know, wrote the song and it wasn't necessarily meant for to be a suggestive for illicit type of items. So people are actually having to come out right now from their families and actually having to defend the honor family. But what I really want to do, ladies and gentlemen, Superfly Oz listeners, is I really want to take the whole SJW world that is really out there in the internet, really out there in kind of the zeitgeist or the spirit of the world or the spirit of the nation, the noise of the nation whatsoever. I really want to call them out, and I really do want to say, look, if you guys are really that much of a social movement type of people, you guys are not even playing in the same field as what people really did do to effectuate social change in large fashion. And as I was thinking about this subject, I realized to myself, you know, there have been massive social movements worldwide, social movements that have really changed the paradigm of how we look at life and how we look at places and how we look at people, and really have changed the way people live in certain places. You know, a lot of the, if you read history, of course, there have been massive social changes that have taken place over a period of millennia. I mean, I'm kind of coming up with the idea of decolonization across Africa, the overthrow of the dynasties in China in 1911, the changes of civil rights here in the United States over in the 1950s and the 1960s, in which we have the Civil Rights Act, we have the Equal Voting Act, we have a lot of these different changes by which we really did effectuate changes in this nation. But what I want to do is I want to give you an example, and this is a real call out to the social justice warriors, to tell them that if you think that you're making any great headway in making a big statement in regard to whether or not a song is bad or whether or not a commercial is bad or something like that, you guys aren't even playing at the same level as what real people have done. And what I want to do is I want to show you an example. And so some of the listeners, you're really not going to know about this because maybe you weren't born at the time when this was all happening. I was around, and I'm hoping that a lot of the listeners who are listening to my podcast were around and remember this for that. Let me give you a little background on this subject. So we know of a country called South Africa. It's down in the southern area of Africa. It's a large multiracial country that is ruled by blacks. And that started happening after 1994 when white minority rule was changed over to black majority rule by free and fair elections. And of course, you are probably very familiar with a gentleman named Nelson Mandela, who was the first black president of South Africa. But before that, and for about 40 or 50 years even before that, the country was ruled under minority rule by whites. And the whites had imposed rules called apartheid. Apartheid basically split up the races between blacks, whites, Africans, Indians, Chinese, etc., etc. Everybody was segregated into their own areas. And of course, because South Africa was majority residents were black, a lot of the areas were in areas where the blacks had lived, and they were pretty much segregated from where whites would be living, which is area, you know, the metro areas like Johannesburg, Cape Town, and stuff like that. So when this rule started coming out in about the 1940s, late for 1940s, 1950s, people in England actually got very upset about it. And they started to make noise about it in their parliament in England to say South Africa is being racist in their ways of doing things. And there was a small vocal minority who started making really large noises in regard to the issues in South Africa and started pressuring on the British government to do something about it. Economic withdrawal, diplomatic isolation, basically making sure that South Africa always knew that someone in the West, Great Britain, someone like that, would always be putting pressure on the white minority government to, hey, maybe change your ways and maybe start making waves so that the majority black people in South Africa could actually eventually rule the country. Well, the white minority didn't quite get the message, and they kept on doing things, and they kept on doing things pretty brutally. You've heard about the Soweto riots. When I was growing up in the 1980s, you heard about how South African police basically were shooting plastic and rubber bullets at protesters all throughout the country. There was a state of martial law. There were the white guys that would get on television and speak in this really funny English accent and basically say that, you know, they were in control of the country. There was this gentleman in prison. His name was Nelson Mandela, who was a freedom fighter who had been put in jail even before I was born. And a lot of just noise was still coming out. But the United States had decided that, well, you know what, we'll still do business with South Africa, partially because of the fact that it was economically viable. And also one of the facts is because South Africa was a major arms purchaser, Western arms. So according to the history books, starting around 1977 or so, the United States started jumping on to the idea of that South Africa needed to actually change its ways also. And also the United States needed to stop being so hypocritical about saying that it was racially integrated while basically also promoting those countries by which apartheid was the rule of law. And So over a period of time during the 1980s, and I remember this very clearly, and I think a lot of my listeners also remember this too, there was this small but growing noise that was coming not only from people in the United States itself, but across the media also, that really started calling out the South African government to really start changing its ways. And I wanted to read to you, actually, it was very interesting. I was doing some research on this today and trying to find out a little bit more in regard to this situation in the United States campaign, which, according to research, it happened from 1977 to 1989. Let me read this off for you. The anti-apartheid movement in the United States found that Washington was unwilling to get involved economically isolating South Africa. The movement responded by organized lobbying of individual businesses and institutional investors to end their involvement with or investments in the apartheid state as a matter of corporate social responsibility. The campaign was coordinated by several faith-based institutional investors, eventually leading to the creation of the Interfaith Center of Corporate Responsibility. An array of celebrities, including Peter Singer, Paul Simon, also participated. The key instrument to this campaign was the so-called Sullivan Principles, authored and named by Reverend Leon Sullivan. Leon Sullivan was an African-American preacher in Philadelphia who in 1977 was also a board member of the corporate giant General Motors. At the time, General Motors was the largest employer of blacks in South Africa. The principles required that the corporation ensure that all employees be treated equitably and in an integrated environment, both in and outside of the workplace, and regardless of race as a condition of doing business. The principles directly conflicted with the mandated racial discrimination and segregation policies of the apartheid era South Africa, thus making it impossible for businesses adopting the Sullivan principles to continue business doing there. So I wanted to just read that off to you because I wanted to show you that it didn't necessarily take a lot of people to, you know, start the process of telling the United States government and the United States corporate bodies that it was not a very good idea to be doing business in South Africa. In fact, it was by faith. It was by a Christian faith. It was by a reverend who happened to be also having the opportunity to be on corporate boards like General Motors. But my point of the matter is, and of course, you know, the scale as to this type of activism compared to what the social justice warriors have are completely they're not even on the same planet. But here's the point that I'm trying to make in regard to that. Social justice warriors want to make basic mountains out of molehills on one issue, but all they want to do is just take that one issue and change that one issue in the United States culture and the United States mindset, and then just get on board their crazy train and roll on to the next crazy thing that they want to have a problem with. Real social change, ladies and gentlemen, real social change does not just happen in a 15-minute span or in 144 characters on Twitter. It takes years. You know how long it took the South African protest movement to get from the start of their protests to the time when Nelson Mandela got released to the time when South Africa was now majority owned by blacks? It took almost 40 years. And the fact of the matter is that these people just kept at it. They just kept at it. I remember all the time the media getting involved in it, the businesses getting involved in it, the government getting involved in it. I mean, you could even, let's go to something that was a little bit more relational to America, right? The no smoking movements in the United States, of course, in the United States, or, you know, along those lines. Those took, again, another 40 years or so before American culture actually changed from the idea of, well, smoking is good for you, you should do it, and everybody should do it because, you know, that's a good thing to do, to, hey, this is going to kill you, you should probably not do it, and oh, by the way, we're going to try and find ways for you to kick the habit for free, try to reduce the influence of tobacco in American society, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that social justice warriors need to really understand that the type of game that they want to play in regard to the internet, in regard to Twitter, in regard to how their noise is going about and stuff like that, it's pitiful. It's absolutely pitiful, ladies and gentlemen, the way that they're going at it. Because you know what? What they're trying to do is, okay, you can't be doing this anymore. We are going to make a whole bunch of noise about it, and then we're going to get on a crazy train and move on to the next damn thing. All they're trying to do is trying to destroy. Let me tell you something in regard to the South African example. You know, the guys who were running the South African opposition and the guys who were going and having these campaigns against South Africa from England, United States, around the world. They were not going out and trying to destroy South Africa. They were not trying to kill one white person. They weren't trying to kill one black person. They weren't trying to reorientate the entire culture of an entire nation. They were just trying to rationalize it to the way reality was. Majority of people in South Africa were black. They should be able to rule themselves. That was the new way of looking at how progressive democracies were supposed to be. But the activists were not going out and trying to say, okay, we need to just destroy them, and we need to just destroy their reputation. We need to destroy the reputation of the white people, and we need to destroy the reputation of every single thing that was going on. Yes, there was a reputational message that was out there that said that the white minority rulers needed to go ahead and release their rule over the country and give it to black South Africans. And eventually that happened. And when it happened, ladies and gentlemen, they didn't go out and went ahead and said, okay, now that, you know, the white minorities are now no longer running the country, now we have to kill them all. They didn't do that. They shut down the mission for change. And what they did was they created a new mission to oversee the maintenance of this new South Africa, this new world, in other words, to see to it that the new world would be viable, would be sustainable, and to really wish well for those people over there. And I would wish that social justice warriors that are out there today, just going on Twitter, going on Facebook, going on whatever, making whatever noise in regard to whatever the issue of the day is, whether it's a Kellogg's cereal box or a song and Christmas or whatever, understand that what they're trying to do is something that is small. It's tiny. And all they're trying to do is trying to get as many likes as you can, or many loves as you can if you're on Twitter, and trying to get as many people to retweet your position as possible in order for you to be that social justice warrior that has effectuated some sort of change. These people don't even have a clue as to what it really means to make change. What you really need to do is you need to have patience, you need to have an understanding, and you need to have a focus, and you need to have the understanding that not everything needs to be destroyed for the sake of your opinion. And I think, you know, you're hearing it from my voice right now, Superfly Oz, that I am very upset that our country, all that we have now started to do, because the media picks up on this all the time, is whatever the outrage of the day is, we get to hear about it on the morning news. And then we get to hear about it again on the evening news. And then we get to see it again on, you know, 4,000 posts on Facebook and 100,000 retweets on Twitter. And then there's a backlash of which everybody says, hey, you know what? Why don't you knock it off about this type of stuff? Why don't you go ahead and stop trying to pick on every single damn thing that is going on in the world and, you know, make it bad, or say that this is bad and that it has to be eliminated. You know, another example of this type of social justice warrior type of stuff that was done before the SJWs became a thing was when the food police, do you remember them? The food police would come out, and every so often they would come out with some sort of report that said that, you know, this type of food was bad for you, it was going to cause cancer, and it was basically going to have you die prematurely, or don't drink coffee, or don't drink caffeine, or don't drink Coke, or don't eat chocolate, or whatever. And you know, it was very funny, right? Because you would hear this Science for Food Safety, I guess that's what they were called, they would come out with this report, and the world would just kind of blow up, and they would say, how dare you talk about my sacrilegious, it's sacrilegious to talk about my coffee, or sacrilegious to talk about fat or butter or whatever it is, and basically make it so that it sounds bad and stuff like that. Now, those guys are coward. I don't hear much about them from these days in regard to their reports about how bad food is or how good food is or whatever. So I think that from that point of view, they kind of got coward and said, okay, the social zeitgeist is going to really dictate whether or not we have these type of foods or not. But again, this is just another level by which SJWs are trying to reach to, and they don't even reach it very well either. They're using social media, they're using these type of things. And so I want to call them out, and I want to say to them, look, if you really want to effectuate change, you really do need to stop trying to organize in a five minute way, and instead actually really think about what you really want to do in regard to this. to ban a song from the radio because it is suggestive of whatever, where are we going with this? What is the purpose of doing this? What are we going to go in and check out every single song to make sure that they are proper in the culture that you would like it to be? Who makes you the dictator of all items that are culturally proper? Again, and then when you have this feedback and stuff like that, all it does then create is noise. And I'll tell you something right now, this whole baby it's cold outside thing has created a lot of noise and a lot of feedback from a lot of people basically telling the social justice warriors, hey, why don't you knock it off? Why don't you stop picking on everything? Why don't you just go pay attention to something else? Real social change takes time and it takes organization. Yes, it also takes money too, but if the mission is proper, if the mission is right, if the ideas behind the movement are sound, if it leads to a better society, then the money does come. I'll guarantee you that. The followings come about. I will guarantee you that too. But it's important to know that when you hear these type of movements on the internet and stuff like that, you just got to know that it's just a whole bunch of people trying to make noise. They got off the train at one station. They decided to make a carnival out of an issue. They, you know, got their 15 minutes of fame on that. They got their 100,000 likes on Facebook. They got their dopamine into their head. And now, you know, when everybody's kind of calmed down and said, okay, you know, that issue is now done and we're done talking about it, they jump onto the crazy train and go on to something else. And ladies and gentlemen, we really do have to have a better way of making social change in this country rather than having all of these disparate people running around, these social justice warriors, and really making a lot of noise for no apparent focus. One last thought in regard to this whole thing, and I wanted to bring out the whole Me Too movement too. I believe in the Me Too movement in its general essence of trying to make a better relationship between men and women. I mean, I understand that there have been men who have done some pretty nasty things to women. And on a whole, men, I believe, who are proper and right, would say, yes, guys like Harvey Weinstein and stuff like that, if those accusations are true, hey, he should have probably, you know, been calmed down a little bit and sat down and told, hey, you know what, you got to behave yourself better around women. You got to be a gentleman about stuff. And I believe that the movement is proper, but I don't believe that the movement is organized enough so that it can start maintaining the type of momentum that it really needs to make. Instead, what it's done is it's kind of thrown open the door and said, okay, anybody who is a social activist out there, anybody who has a keyboard warriors, whatever it is, you know, they can go ahead and make a lot of noise and in some ways destroy the reputation of people. And oh, by the way, you know, we're going to throw open the doors and we're going to do this whole ultimate democracy type of thing in regard to the Me Too movement. And while that might be okay for a little bit of time, it's kind of like a 100 Flowers movement, they used to call it in China back in the 1950s. You know, open up the doors and start intellectual thought in regard to things. One of the things that needs to really happen is that leadership really does need to come into play and say, okay, this is our focus. This is where we want to go. This is the type of thing that we want to achieve in this movement. And then when we achieve that goal, shut down the movement and then go find something else to do. And then really have made substantial social change in the issue. Because I'll guarantee you right now, ladies and gentlemen, social justice warriors coming out and going after songs, it's just like the food police coming out and saying that butter was bad for you. People got on top of the food police about that and told them to shut the hell up. And I gotta tell you, for the Baby It's Cold Outside movement, that's the same exact thing that's gonna be happening. And you already hear it already. So for you who is a social justice warrior listening to this show, here's my challenge to you. You wanna really effectuate change? Get organized. Get a better organization going. Get a focus. Get a goal. Achieve the goal. And then move on from there. Don't just do the hit and run for the sake of your need for 100,000 likes on Facebook. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I think I've probably destroyed this popsicle stand for today here in Hawaii. And I really do appreciate you listening to me. Again, my name is Stan Fitchman. I am Superfly Oz. www.politicshawaii.com. That's where my podcast is located. We're going to end the show today with the theme from the new South Africa. This is the theme that was put together after majority rule was moved over to the blacks. And when the country decided that instead of trying to destroy itself or destroy the people that tried to hurt it, it got together and they created a brand new anthem. This is the last part of the anthem. And you know what? It's a unifying anthem. And this is what I really am hoping, that maybe somehow or another we can actually start to have that discussion in regard to some of the social issues here in Hawaii, across the United States, and around the world. Because you know what? I think it's worth it. Ladies and gentlemen, my name again is Stan Fitchman, Superfly Oz, www.politicshawaii.com, sjfhawaii@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and I will look forward to talking to you next week on the Superfly Oz podcast.